Welcome everyone to Speak Truth podcast, where we seek to give biblical answers to life's issues. And today I have a guest with me. This is Brian Shellum. Good to see you, brother. Thanks for being here today. He's kind to be my guest. And Brian is actually running for the office of mayor here in Edmond. And I had the opportunity to meet him recently and just love to hear his heart. I love the things that he had to say. And of course, being a pastor here in Edmond, not only do I want what's best for this church, but I want what's best for this community. I want what's best for our city government, for our schools, and so forth. And so I invited Brian to be on here today because I wanted him to introduce him to all of you, especially Edmond residents, to make sure that you know who he is, hear his heart, hear his story, so that you can be better informed when you go to the polls and cast your ballot. So, Brian, again, thank you for being here today. Why don't we just start off by sharing your salvation?
Absolutely.
Your marriage, your kids, salvation testimony, all those things.
Sure. Well, you know, we've been here at roughly 21 years in Edmond, so you know we've been a longtime resident, but that's not where my story begins. You know, it becomes a lot earlier than that. So I was born out in California, moved to Arizona when I was 12. I kind of consider that formative years of, being a teenager and then developing deep friendships. And my salvation story really begins, you know, way earlier because God, you know, typically instills with us a certain type of spirit, a personality. Mm-hmm. And I would say that spirit and personality was in me even before my salvation. But it was pointed in a different direction. Like many people, my salvation didn't come when I was at the top of the mountain. You know, I don't know many people who say, you know, I just was at the top of the mountain. I just wanted to go higher. And I saw God from the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
It's usually in the valley.
Right.
It's the brokenness. Of yeah. Where we find, you know, hope that when we're in the very bottom. And so growing up, my parents were split up, and my mom, which I love, and I know she loves me very much, but, you know, she was doing the best she could. But, you know, she got married a second husband, exposed to a lot of alcohol, mm-hmm. a lot of other child abuse and within my family. And so it took all that stuff, I would say, that made me realize I was broken, that I needed to understand that I needed more than it wasn't going to be my own efforts, that there was a Savior who loved me and that was going to be willing to lay down his life and sacrifice his life for me.
Yeah.
And I often equate it to, you know, if we were to jump in the ocean and say, hey, we're going to swim to Hawaii. I don't know anybody who's done that as of yet. And I think many times we think, oh, if we're good enough, we're not. We're okay. Saved by grace. And so God literally, you know, doesn't just get in a boat next to us and get in, this is how you need to do it, you know, yells at us, stroke, stroke, stroke. He actually pulls us all the way to where we need to be. He's yeah. the one that, you know, saves us. And so my salvation story, you know, started, I had a couple buddies in junior high who said, you need to come to church with us, to the youth group. And I said, nah, you know, I'm good. And I was, you know, kind of strong-willed, you know, as a latchkey kid and just always kind of on my own. So finally they kept asking me. And so I said, okay, if I go, will you stop asking?
Yeah.
And they said, we'll do that. So, you know, God ended up, you know, really catching my heart. I was just at that age at 14 that, you know, I was a kid, if you dare me to do something, I'd be like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, you just get that age where you probably didn't dare to do things that aren't the best things.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe a little dangerous. And so I think it's pretty amazing when I look at all what God had done previous or allow things to happen to realize I needed a Savior. And that's when I became a Christian at 14, is gave my life to the Lord. And, you know, really in some instances against the will of some of my family members. Mm-hmm. I was thankful that my father, though, again, I went to live with my father when I was 12, and he says this is a good spot for him. So he was supportive, even though he wasn't plugged in at all to that church. He says, you know, this is good. So he saw the fruit being bore.
Yeah.
And so I was thankful for that. And so it was part of a great youth ministry and a great church that supported the youth, and, you know, went on lots of mission trips to Mexico. We would go every spring break and build homes mm-hmm. in Tijuana. and with a ministry called the Moore Ministries. Mm-hmm. So it was just great experiences, but really being part working with a local church there, Moore did to help the local community. But went to the Dominican Republic, been to Chile, been to Peru, and just because we're called to spread the gospel, yeah, and make disciples, right? And so when we look at that salvation story, is that it's not, well, just for me. It's that we're called to be the hands and feet of Christ as well.
Yeah.
And we're part of the body.
Yeah.
And so we need to share the message. And so that's a huge part of my story of the things that God's doing in my life. And it's not just then, it's still today.
Yeah. So salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. You love the local church. I know, mm-hmm, you're a part of a local church and you, mm-hmm, serve there in your local church. Mm-hmm. And then you're also passionate about missions, as yep, you said. Mm-hmm. So, which ought to be the characteristic of every Christian, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, this is a mission field.
Yeah.
Right here in our backyard, but we're, cross culturally, all the things. We're called to go out into all the world,
yeah,
and make disciples.
So you're married and with children.
Uh huh. Yeah, married to my wife, Janelle, of 23 years.
Okay.
So, and then we have two kids that, okay, are almost 16. So next month, just watch out. They're going to get their driver's license.
I understand how that is. So, now, you are a successful business owner here in Edmond. So why don't you share a little bit about that?
Sure. And it's always interesting to say, hey, you're successful, right? I would say by the world's measure, I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think many times the... how do we measure success? It's not going to be how much money's in my bank account when I die.
Right.
It's really the impact we leave for the people we touch.
Yeah.
And many of those are obviously not just family and friends, but how we interact with our customers. And are we being effective missionaries in the workplace?
Yeah.
And so I would say I measure my success of that as, am I representing Christ in my business?
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily need to use Jesus as a marketing tool, but I want my business to be reflective of my faith.
We've
been very blessed. We have four businesses. We're in the automotive equipment distribution business, so we primarily serve the collision industry. So when people crash their cars, they take, mm-hmm, it to a body shop. We sell them all the heavy equipment and tools they utilize to fix the cars.
Okay.
So been doing that for about 31 years. It's really almost the only thing we've done.
Yeah.
We have a paint distribution company. We have a finance company where we broker the financing on that type of equipment, but any other type of capital,
yeah,
equipment. So, and then we have a small little real estate holding company.
Okay.
So that's what we do. I still have to work on a daily basis,
right.
Still put food, try to help put food on the table.
Yeah. Well, that's good, brother. So what led you to run for run for mayor here in Edmond?
Well, I jokingly say, the people who know me well already knew I was crazy. This just, yeah, confirms it. But really, it was a calling. Over the last couple of years, we've seen some of the instances where our local governments and school boards have made, really quick decisions. And I think during the beginning of the pandemic, I think everybody was very graceful saying, hey, we don't know what's coming, so let's be prepared. But as we got more and more information, we needed to adjust the decisions that were being made.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and with that, my kids were greatly affected. One of them in particular, during some of these COVID policies, with the kids being, taken out of school full time, one of my children suffered physically, mm-hmm, from that. And when you see your kids doing that as a parent, you're going to do everything you can to try to rectify the situation. So we, took my son to the doctor, and, he just was starting to lose weight as at 13. Most boys are gaining weight and growing. So we became concerned. I have a mountain of medical bill showing that we were doing everything we can. He has a twin sister, same exact age, never affected her that, mm-hmm, way. So when they went back to school, things started getting better. We found out, it was mostly psychosomatic.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize, hey, this could be something. And he's fully recovered. He's a believer. He's following the Lord. It's just this anxiety. So when they implemented this policy of quarantining healthy kids, mm-hmm, it just didn't make sense. So we started getting involved and saying, hey, let's try to make sure that we're not implementing things just with a broad brush brushstroke.
Yeah.
And so we stood up against Edmond Public Schools, and they did not want to visit with us, even in regards to this. Mm-hmm. When I say that, the superintendent, she was very nice. She did take the conversation, but the board would not make the decision to allow kids with that weren't vaccinated for COVID-19. They had to be kicked out of school for 11 days. Whereas if they were, it didn't matter. Come on in or never have to leave.
Yeah.
And it was truly discriminatory.
Yeah. So it was not that they had COVID and were showing symptoms, and so therefore they sent them home to quarantine them. These were healthy kids mm-hmm. who had clean diagnosis of no COVID,
mm-hmm.
but because they were not vaccinated, they were told to go home.
Correct.
And that's wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wrong.
Correct.
It's overreach, of course, and that's what you and your family stood up against.
Yeah, and we ended up suing the district. We actually won that case. We got an injunction against Edmond Public Schools.
Yeah.
And so, again, we just were what we were fighting for, not just our kids, but all the kids' rights to say, hey, they have a right to be treated equally.
Right.
And so we also then said, we need to get involved. So we started helping other candidates, saying, hey, be in school board elections, and then people who were involved with our state. And so we were writing checks, and we were out door knocking, just really just trying to serve. But that's how my name got on this list of saying, hey, who's willing to step up and do the right thing?
Yeah.
And so there was a recruitment group that, reached out to me, and I said, this is not something I, want to do initially, but when God calls you, you have to be obedient. And as I've gone through that process, we know the story of Jonah.
Yeah.
He was disobedient at first. It didn't go too well. Shipwreck, being swallowed by a giant fish, right? So how much different would the story be if Jonah had just gone and done what God told him initially, right? And so it was really a calling. And so really it was over about a 48-hour period where we initially were contacted, that my wife and I prayed about it and sought counsel from friends and people who we trusted. And we both came to the same conclusion that if I don't step forward and be obedient, that I was going to be disobedient to that calling. So it was not something I had aspired to, but I think God can use the lowly people like me to maybe make a difference. And so I'm just being obedient to his calling.
Yeah. And, one of the last thing that we want to do is, and you're very gracious not to do this, but is to run down anybody. But I think that in all honesty, if we look at the current administration, there has been a blatant woke agenda. I think it was 2 years ago, year before last, when the current mayor established Gay Pride Month, and myself and several other pastors met with him and told him that, that doesn't need to happen here in the city of Edmond again. I know that your agenda is not woke.
Mm-hmm.
Your agenda is to come from God's word and to do what honors him. What do you see to be the biggest challenges and that Edmond is facing right now? And what do you feel like God is raising you up to do for the city of Edmond?
I think it's a great question.
Yeah.
So the number one concern among the citizens seems to be this issue of traffic and the quality of our roads.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, I believe that's really a symptom of the bigger problem. So that's what's manifest is what everyone sees is this problem of traffic. So my goal, if I win, is to realign the mayor's office and the city council's quarters to make it the priority of the citizens. So that's really the disconnect. Just the reason you were talking about these other issues that are very big and important is making sure that the citizens are represented and heard.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to be the priority of our existing mayor. So I've met him. I think he's a nice gentleman. But in regards to elevating what the citizens want, that does not seem to be being carried out.
Right.
And there's a lot of those issues. So I do believe we are in America are lucky that we have the freedoms we do. And we're a government of, by, and for the people. And when the government loses track of that, be it local, state, or national, something has to be done.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we have free elections here, and that's what I ultimately want to stand up for. There's a lot of other issues that we need to face. We need to have a greater vision than where we're at. So as we talk about the I-35 corridor, you know, there's an existing plan out there for calls for a lot more residential or high density population mm-hmm. centers along I-35. I don't support it in its current form. I do support that we do need to develop our I-35 corridor, but make it a more commercial space.
Right.
That's how we increase the pie. That's how we increase the revenue for our citizens. That's how we increase the sales tax revenue that goes to the city, and that's how our city government is based. And so I think when we put basic principles to use first, a lot of the issues become solved in that. So in business, we jokingly will say, you know, sales solve a lot of problems. You know, so if you have the revenue, you're able to do a lot more things. So when our existing council just 2 nights ago took a vote and they passed a measure to borrow $84 million against our actually public utilities to put a new city complex in, City Hall building, I have not seen anybody down there protesting, say, we need a new city building.
Right.
You know, it seems like the priorities seem to be disjointed from what the priorities of the citizens are.
Right.
So my goal is to realign the mayor's office with the priorities of the citizens and take care of the citizens, their needs first.
That's good. That's good. To take care of the priority of the citizens. That is definitely worth saying again. And you want to be, you know, we often hear it said, but I think it's true for you. You want to be a mayor, first of all, who's underneath God, but who is for the people and wants to listen to the people and hear the people and also develop an infrastructure in our city that that helps us to continue to be who we are, which is Edmond, and not try to force us to be something we're not.
Correct.
By bringing in a lot of, large apartment complex, apartment, lower income type apartment complexes and so forth. As a pastor, you know, I'm like, okay, well, that's more people for us to reach if you get more people in. But the reality is that I just don't know right now if we move towards building a lot of, you know, lower income apartment complexes on the I-35 corridor, which appears to be what the current administration would like to happen. And if I'm wrong, you can correct me. I just don't see how our current infrastructure can sustain that.
Yeah. Well, you're right. So ultimately, I think you bring up a great point is, you know, as we read in God's word, that if we don't seek God's wisdom, you know, the builder labors in vain.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, we should be praying about these things. And that sounds, you know, many times people, well, you don't believe in separation church and state. And I said, well, I do it. We should not have a state-run church,
right,
nor should we have a church-run state.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but that doesn't mean it's the absence of God. And so God has blessed us with the freedoms we have, with these inalienable rights. So ultimately, we should be submitting all these decisions in prayer to God and really seeking His wisdom. Many times we ask that God to be on our side, right? And really, we should be asking, are we on God's side?
Yeah.
And ultimately, if we really stick to those principles, He will guide us.
Yeah.
And that's what's been the guiding principles of our country for well over 200 years. And I think as we look at the calamity that seems to be happening in our country, it's because we're not focusing on the Lord.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
And so there's a lot bigger issues. We're in a little small, you know, segment of that. I believe everybody should be welcome here, be it low income, high income, because everybody needs the love of Jesus.
Right.
So we would. I don't think we should ever discriminate based on income level. But what we should do is say we should have sound decision-making principles, and we should let the market work. So we want to represent every single person who's here in Edmond. Some people go, well, you only want to push your Christian faith. I said, well, how do I reach people for the gospel if I don't love them right where they're at?
Yeah.
Just like Jesus loved the woman at the well. He knew her, you know, all the stuff she had done. And He loved her.
Yeah.
And He didn't say, well, keep on doing it. He said, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
And so that's really the attitude I want to have within our city government. So there's a lot of issues. And I will tell you, sometimes that when we talk about lower income housing, there are an issue. And the apartments that many of them want to push aren't low income.
Mm-hmm.
They're very high income. So if you look at a single bedroom apartment in Edmond, it's around $1,300 a month. That's not low income. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of counterintuitive. They'll claim one thing, and then it ends up being something totally different.
And just to make sure I was clear, and I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I said a few moments ago, was, you know, as a pastor, of course you want more people coming into the city because that's more people to reach.
Yeah.
My concern is that our current infrastructure. That's my that's my issue, is that, yes, more people to reach for Christ. Amen. Yeah. Despite economic level or anything like that. Yet our current, we can't even get around Edmond right now.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
The traffic and the gridlock that's continuing to happen is going to continue to get worse unless we address it.
You're right.
So there's two things that we need to do. Obviously, we need to invest in our infrastructure, which is a huge deal. We're falling behind. We have roughly $200 million worth of road projects right now, and we only have a $40 million budget for it.
Yeah.
So that's a huge gap. So some of it's how we're funding it and how we're running our city. And we need to change that. There are some things we can do immediately, though, which people are like, what do you plan to do immediately without really tapping our budget? So Edmond has chosen to use what's called a herd/platoon methodology of moving moving traffic through our city. It's very antiquated. So I have visited with traffic engineers that don't just work for Edmond, but have consulted for Edmond, some that have not as well. And they said, you know, there's continuous flow. There's synchronization of lights. You may go to some cities, and if you go the speed limit, it's amazing. All the lights turn green. Mm-hmm. We don't utilize that here, a synchronization of our lights. So we could literally change the methodology of how we
move traffic,
and it will have a profound effect without even investing $1.
Yeah.
Well, and I should say, you know, we got to pay some people to, you know, synchronize the lights and do some things.
Yeah.
But at a very minimal cost.
Yeah.
And there's some other things we can do that will actually prevent accidents as well by putting a few barriers in. You know, they call them turtles along the road, or some road obstructions where people are stopping in the middle of the road, turning left into certain places that are creating obstacles.
Right.
And people have rear end accidents, which then clogs the traffic even worse. So there's a lot of things we can do immediately that will have a very big impact on that issue. But as we look into the future, we do need to be looking at the growth that's going to happen, mostly on the east side of town, and making sure we don't make the same mistakes that we've had on the west side of town. We have to have a greater vision from where we're at. One of my favorite quotes is from Wayne Gretzky. You know, he's, you know, you know, people have asked, why were you such a great hockey player? And he says, well, I always used to skate to where the puck was going to be, not where it is. And that's where we need to be, having a greater vision of where we're going as a city, not going, well, this is just where we're at. And, you know, we can't say, well, just because we've always done it this way, that's how we're going to do it. Well, we need to have a kind of a greater vision.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your heart. And I've always, you know, the few times you and I've got to meet, you know, be together and talk, it's always been a blessing to hear your heart. And so I just wanted to make sure that I can do my best to help people to know who you are. And so I would just say to the audience, when you're driving around and you're seeing those red and blue signs that say Brian Shellum, I Love Edmond, remember that, and remember Brian when it comes time to cast your ballot. Brian, is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
We need all the help that we can get. So if you feel led, we need people to donate money. It costs money to run these campaigns. If you want to come out and door knock, please come out and door knock. We want to obviously pray for everyone involved, for safety, for my family. We truly appreciate all the prayers that we're getting. We also want to pray for our existing mayor and his family. We, you know, there's been some people who have started attacking, which is unfortunate.
Right.
We don't want anybody to be attacking based on things that are not true or false.
Yeah.
It's okay to call out a record and say this is a voting record and these are issues that we should face. So we are praying for our existing mayor and his family.
Yeah. And I would just say I've had the opportunity to sit down and visit with him, and he is a gentleman. Mm-hmm. I will say that he was a gentleman, but the reality is that he has some just some ideologies and some perspectives that I believe are not good for our city, and even some of them contrary to the Word of God. And so, you know, I know that we have some members in our church right now that are helping you with your campaign. And we're very proud of those folks. And so this is something new for me. This is the first time I've ever interviewed someone or introduced someone who's running for an office. But when you feel like you have a brother who's a godly man, I think this is the right thing to do, is to introduce him to the public and to encourage him in every way that we can. So, Brian, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bless you, brother.
Thank you.
God bless you
for inviting me.
Yeah, we may have you back on again.
We'll see how things go.
All right. God bless. Until we meet again, serve the King.